This is Brewers on Tap.
Welcome into episode number 20 of Brewers on Tap, the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. My name is Jeff Levering, your host of the podcast, and don't forget to submit those questions each and every week via Twitter to the Brewers using the hashtag Brewers on Tap. In this week's podcast, you'll hear from Brewers reliever Will Smith, who recently celebrated his 26th birthday, claims to have felt old, and I don't think he went to see his auntie and his uncle in a town called Bel Air when the club was out in Los Angeles either. Brewers bench coach Jerry Nairn talks the value of Jonathan Lucroy's catching skills, and Hall of Famer Don Sutton, who was recently in town with the Atlanta Braves, reflects on his time here in Milwaukee. But first, this week in Brewers history.
And now, this week, the Brewers history.
We go back to July 13th, 2009. That's when Prince Fielder became the first Brewer to win the Home Run Derby as he defeated the Rangers' Nelson Cruz in the final round at Busch Stadium in St. Louis during the All-Star Game festivities. Prince was in the Home Run Derby this year as well and had the same pitcher throw to him. That was Biloxi Shuckers coach Sandy Guerrero. Prince Fielder this year lost to Todd Frazier in the first round of the Home Run Derby. And the hometown kid from Cincinnati, Frazier, ended up winning the Home Run Derby this year over Dodgers center fielder Jock Peterson. And back on July 15th, 2008, another All-Star memory as Ben Sheets becomes the first pitcher in franchise history to start an All-Star game. He tossed a pair of scoreless innings in the contest, which was played at Yankee Stadium during the final season of the historic ballpark. The American League won 4-3 in 15 innings. Another Brewer was on the All-Star team as well. That was Corey Hart, as he won the fan vote over the Mets' David Wright, the Phillies' Pat Burrell, San Francisco's Aaron Rowan, and Houston's Carlos Lee that season. And that's this day in Brewers history. Short week because of the All-Star game this week in terms of the highlights, but the Brewers had plenty of them in a series against the Los Angeles Dodgers and a couple from Wednesday's contest against the Atlanta Braves.
And that's in the air, left field, Gomez watching, Perez at the wall, it's gone, a home run! Perez goes slamming into the wall. Carlos Gomez with the second home run of the game, and it's a 4-3 Atlanta lead. 3-1 pitch, Gomez in the air, left center field, it's well hit, Perez is back, and it is gone! And the Brewers have taken the lead in the eighth. Davis sends one deep to center field. That's way back. Made it at the wall. Goodbye. Wow, off the scoreboard. Chris Davis, a two-run home run. And the Brewers are back in business.
Just a matter of time for KD. Yesterday, a couple of near misses, warning track shots, but got all that one off the Miller Lite side, the bottom of the scoreboard.
Rack up against other All-Stars, you know, up in top 10 in RBIs and home runs.
Hits that one hard, deep into right center field. That is way back. Goodbye. Ryan Braun with an opposite field home run at Dodger Stadium. And the Brewers lead 1-0 on a booming shot by Braun. That game will be Tuesday, same time as the All-Star game. Hernan Perez sends one deep in the left field. This could be it. Number one for Hernan Perez, his first career Major League home run. On the first pitch, he goes deep. And it's 2-1 Milwaukee. What a moment for him. Little Italian spot out there. I like that. Gonzalez lines one to left. Davis coming in, makes the catch. It popped out, then right back in his glove. What a heck of a play by Davis.
Yep, the elbow hit first. It popped out of the glove, but able to keep it in there on the second effort. And Brewers having a 2-0 lead last night.
Parra sends out one deep into right center field. Way back and gone. A home run. Eduardo Parra.
Never mind. 4-0.
Oh, that was a bomb by Parra. His 9th of the season.
Lefty versus lefty, and Parr put a charge into that one, didn't he?
Wow. And a swing and a miss, and Taylor Youngman goes the distance for Milwaukee. The Brewers win 7-1, and the tall Texan is quickly establishing himself as one of the best pitchers in the game right now during this window. 8 innings, his last start, goes the distance tonight. Gomez drives in 5. And Taylor Youngman becomes the first Brewer pitcher to ever go the distance at Dodger Stadium. 100 pitches, 9 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 7 strikeouts.
Chris Davis returned in grand fashion from the disabled list with a big home run on Wednesday last week. He even batted leadoff for the first time in his career on Sunday in L.A., and made a great diving catch that day as well. Carlos Gomez has found his hitting stroke, single-handedly beating the Braves on Wednesday last week with a couple of homers, and he matched a career high with 5 runs batted in L.A. on Saturday. It's the second time in this month of July that Gomez has had a 5 RBI game. The same day, Ryan Braun was announced to the NL All-Star team. He blasted a home run against the Dodgers. Outfielder Gerardo Parra hit his 9th home run of the season, just one shy of his career high of 10. And Parra's hitting .425 in the month of July with 4 homers, 8 runs batted in, 11 runs scored, and his .309 batting average is good for 9th best in the National League. And finally, Taylor Youngman followed up his first 8-inning performance of his career with a 9-inning complete game on just 100 pitches on Saturday in Los Angeles. Youngman is now 4-1 in 7 starts, and opponents are hitting just .211 against the right-hander out of the University of Texas. And now it's time on the podcast where we catch up with the crew. And this last week, we chatted with reliever Will Smith, who talked about pitching on his birthday and his success on the season. And another conversation with bench coach Jerry Nairn, who shares his appreciation of the work Jonathan Lucroy does for his pitching staff. And Nairn shares the secret behind his calligraphy skills.
Let's catch up with the crew.
We are joined now by Will Smith, Brewers reliever. And Will, it's obviously going into the All-Star break here. Club is playing very well of late. The pitching has been sensational, especially here on the road.
Yeah, we're playing better now. We had that good road trip when we went to Philly and Cincinnati, and we're just kind of trying to carry on and keep that up throughout this break, and then come back and start it all back up again.
Your role has kind of developed throughout the course of the year. You know, you've been a lefty specialist at times. You've been in there for an inning plus at times. Now it seems like you're the 8th inning guy combo plate with Jeremy Jeffress, and you guys were teammates with the Royals together, so it's nice to have that combo plate, huh?
Yeah, it's always nice. Either JJ comes in and starts the righties, or I'll come in and start the lefties, and vice versa, and we'll flip. But, Counts has been pushing the right buttons. We got a good pin down there, a lot of weapons down there, and it's nice showing up at the ballpark and knowing we have a chance to win late in the game.
How is it being in that later role, being a 7th inning guy, 8th inning guy? Does pressure get to you at all?
No, I love it. I love when you come in, it's a 1-run game, or there's runners on. Don't get me wrong, it's nice to have a fresh, clean inning with nobody on, but when you come in, your adrenaline gets pumped up a little bit more. You want to save your buddy out and not cash in his run, so it's a challenge out there, but it's fun. I love it.
How do you feel out there on the mound? From the booth, you look fantastic. That slider's going, fastball's going, good velocity, but how do you feel?
I feel good. Arm-wise, feel good, healthy. Feel confident in my abilities. I like it. I'm comfortable out there right now.
How do you feel about the hashtag slider of death?
You know what? It's all fun and games. I'm not the kind of guy that likes attention or anything like that, so... if the fans, if it makes them happy, then go for it. I think it's kind of cool.
Chatting with reliever Will Smith, and here we are in Los Angeles getting ready to play the Dodgers, and the very picturesque ballpark here and pretty special. Nice to do it on your birthday, too. Happy birthday, Will.
Thank you. Yeah, the big 2-6 today. I'm an old man now. My dad told me I was old today. My mom told me I was old. My sister told me I was old, even though she's older than me. But yeah, it's good. You know, it's I've never been in California on my birthday, so it'll be cool. We'll see how it's like.
How have you fared in the past on your birthday?
Not good. 2 years ago with the Royals, I got sent down on my birthday, and then last year I gave up 5 runs without getting up and out in Miller Park. So, you know, hopefully I can change it today. And if I don't get in today, I'm not that upset.
Sure.
But hopefully we can get rid of this birthday jinx.
Do you remember the last time you weren't playing in a baseball game on your birthday?
No, I honestly don't. Even in middle school and Little League, we were at ballpark somewhere during the summertime. I've never been at home or had a break on my birthday in 20 years.
It's just the way it is, man. You're a baseball player out there at the yard celebrating your birthday.
Wouldn't have it any other way. You know, this is, you know, baseball fields are, you know, a fond place for my family. We grew up going to games, watching games. So, you know, I'm pretty sure they feel the same way. They'd like to spend it here at the ballpark, too.
Well, Will, congratulations on all the success and happy birthday, man. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Happy to be joined with the bench coach of the Milwaukee Brewers, that is Jerry Nairn. And since Luke Roy's come off the disabled list, how big is it to have a guy like Luke behind the plate helping these young pitchers through?
Oh, it's tremendous. Luke knows all the hitters and has a real good idea how to work them. And Luke is the best in the game at presenting pitches to the umpire. He does a great job with it, and it's a pleasure to watch him.
A couple of times in last night's ball game, we saw Yasmani Grandal not be able to get in front of pitches and block them. Now, to my recollection this year, I haven't seen Luke unable to square up a ball at any time this year. It's something he does that kind of goes unnoticed, I would think.
I think he's the best at blocking balls in the game also right now, and his just all-around game has really improved over the last 4 or 5 years since I've been here. It's been, you know, just outstanding to watch him and the progression that he's made.
Footwork for me is a big thing with Luke Roy, and that really helps out when you're throwing to bases and all that as well. You don't have to have a cannon for an arm, but if you've got quick feet, that really helps behind the dish.
Well, he does, but, you know, he's got arm strength, and right after he came back after his toe injury, he had a couple, you know, about a week or so there where he didn't throw real well because he couldn't get his weight over that front foot. But he's thrown well over the last couple of years. We haven't done as good a job holding guys on as we'd like, and that's something we're really talking about. Jimmy Nelson has to have some improvement, but Mike Fiers has done a great job, and hopefully Youngman's can take some things into the game tonight that we've been working with.
You mentioned Taylor Youngman, really good in his last appearance against Cincinnati, and really has been fantastic since he's been coming up from AAA.
No, he has. He's been a great surprise for us. You know, the potential we knew was there, but just to see it come out at the major league level has been a lot of fun to watch. And just hopefully tonight he can carry over where he was in Cincinnati, throwing strikes. And he got a lot of first pitch outs the other day. I think he had 5 first pitch outs against Cincinnati, and plus one that was a double play, so he had 6 outs on first pitches the other day, and that was, you know, you don't get that very often.
How about all the fastballs? He's not throwing a lot of off-speed stuff, but when you got a dominating fastball, sometimes that's all you need.
Well, he keeps the ball down, and he's got movement, and the other day in Cincinnati, he hit his spots, and at this level, that's what you got to do.
How much of him pitching in Colorado Springs has helped him to what he's done in the major leagues?
After being there, you got to feel like no matter where you go, you're going to be, you know, you have an advantage. So, you know, a lot of people talk about that you won't be able to evaluate guys or whatever, but if a guy can pitch in Colorado Springs, you know he has a pretty good chance of being successful here.
What's it like coming back to Dodger Stadium? This is a pretty special place.
No, I love it, and I just go back to what it must have been like for the players coming in here in 1962 from, like, Crosley Field or Shibe Park and Forbes Field, some of those old ballparks. They must have felt like they were living in the future when they came out here to L.A.
This is pretty special, and I got to ask you, and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about your calligraphy skills, because I am just enamored by how beautifully you write the lineup card every single day. How'd you get into that?
No, just trying to do whatever I do the best of my ability. That's how I was raised, and just something, no matter how small it is, still try to do the best you can with it, and that's what I do with the lineup card.
Well, how did you pick up writing calligraphy?
Well, when I became a coach in 93 for the Orioles, Johnny Oates was a guy that was, I don't know, peculiar, particular, whatever about things, and he wanted everything done real neat and precise, and I knew if I was going to do the lineup card for him, I had to do it kind of special, and that's why the reason I did it. And I had a sister that had a calligraphy set, and I just tried one of her pens one winter, and that's where it grew from.
Did Johnny Oates have something against vowels with the bench guys, too?
No, that's because I couldn't spell, so I just left vowels out of guys' names.
Jerry, that's great stuff. Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Hey, thanks.
And as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, the Atlanta Braves were just in town to play the Milwaukee Brewers. The Braves have a pair of former Brewers on their broadcasting team, as former radio man Jim Powell is joined by Hall of Famer Don Sutton, who made splashes with the Brewers in 1982. In this week's edition of Let's Break It Down, we chatted with the Hall of Famer Don Sutton.
Let's Break It Down.
Joining us on the program this week is Brewers legend and Hall of Famer Don Sutton. And Don, you've been in town with the Braves over the last couple of days, and you're back in Milwaukee. You've always said that this is such a great place for you to come back. What's it like every time you come back to Milwaukee?
I always come back wishing we had a couple of off days, because I would like to go back to the places that I went and, you know, visit where I lived and try to connect with some of the people that I knew when I was here. When I landed here the first day in 1982, when I landed here, I felt like it is a place. It's kind of one of those weird feelings. I thought, I've been here. I've lived here. I know these people. And I think so much of that is because the atmosphere, the feeling I got from people here. I grew up in a small town. This is a small town that's a little bit bigger. But the friendship, the neighborhood feeling, it's still like coming home. I just wish I had a little more time here. And I wish I could have given Brewers fans some younger innings.
I mean, you were 16 years in Los Angeles, and then you went to Houston for a year and a half before you got traded here. I mean, could not have had a different atmosphere from Dodger Stadium to County Stadium here, right?
Oh, it is so different. It is so different. L.A. was a great place to play. I will always be grateful to the Dodgers for giving me the opportunity to play, and it's nice to have my name in the record book. But when you talk about the sheer comfort of playing and the sheer fun of being on a ball club, that 82 ball club, and that 6 weeks, the most fun of my career, and being embraced by the people here. They didn't know me. I mean, maybe they'd read a little, not much, but I felt like when I first met all the people here that I was shaking hands with old friends, and I'll always treasure that.
What was it like coming in that 82 season? I mean, you joined the club late, and then they went on that historic run. What was it like just walking into that clubhouse and going, all right, guys, here we go?
Well, I did catch a little flack early because Paul Molitor and a couple go, oh, Hollywood's here. I think anybody that plays in L.A., you kind of get that. And the Dodgers, let's face it, during that time there was a Dodger image that we were holier than thou and better than thou and that kind of stuff. So that was it, but it went away. I told them, I said, hey, I'm just here to do the same thing you're doing. I want to play in the World Series. And I think the first statement I ever made to Harvey Keene, you guys are already on a train going to the World Series. I just want to earn my ticket. Mm-hmm. And so it was the best timing of anything that happened into my career. It's the best 6 weeks of my career. I wouldn't trade anything for the opportunity to have pitched the final day of the 82 season against the Orioles. Luck of the draw, I know, but I was so fortunate to be a part of it. And they scored a bunch of runs, and I got to have fun.
You still keep in touch with some of the guys from that 82 team?
I probably see them and bump into them more than I do any of the players I played with in the Dodgers. Our paths cross. Talked to Paul Molitor a couple of times. I see Robin Yount, and obviously I see Raleigh at the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, I would say probably twice as many Brewer teammates as I ever see with my Dodger teammates.
It's really interesting when you talk to the alumni here, and Jim Gantner's around all the time, and Gorman Thomas comes down probably once or twice a week to check out the Brewers. But it seems like the alumni group here is stronger than any that I've seen.
I think they involve former players more. The roles may be big, the roles may be small, but I don't know of too many Brewer players who can't sit down and tell you, oh, yeah, I was back there for a game, or I was back for a golf outing, and you know, I just wish I was closer so we could do it more. I wish there are some of the guys I wish I could see more often. I treasure the time with Jim Slayton. What a great guy to play with. And, you know, I wish I could see Cecil Cooper more. I do bump into Ted Simmons quite a bit, maybe the smartest baseball man I ever met. But I think it would be hard. You'd be hard-pressed to find an organization that involves and remembers the alums more than do the Brewers.
chatting with Don Sutton here, and you get to work with a former Brewer in the broadcast booth now, and Jim Powell. I'm sure he's got some great stories that he can tell you, and you know, you lived here in Milwaukee too, but you guys must really have a good time when you come here to town. I don't know if you guys talk Braves at all when you guys are here.
Well, we get accused a little bit of being homers in reverse when we come here, because both of us, I know for him it was his first shot at really in the big leagues. He got a chance to work with a Hall of Famer and Bob Uecker. I got a chance to play with Hall of Famers here, so there are some similarities. I know that his family was started and raised here, so probably his roots are a little bit deeper, but still when I come back, it's not like it's been years. It's been like it's been minutes or it's been hours. And so much has changed, but so much of what makes Milwaukee fun and home has stayed the same. You know, I see people that, like last night, a couple came up. They showed me pictures of their son and then their grandson. And I said, holy cow, grandson looks just like you did when I met you. So memories. I love memories, and I think that's one of the great things that my major league career, and this is my 50th year in the big leagues, and I think memories will be the greatest thing I'll take away from this career.
You had a chance to be a part of this Brewers team with Bob Uecker. You must have some very fond memories and some really good stories. Some you can tell, some you probably can't tell. Legally, I think the FCC might get upset with some of those stories. But is there one that sticks out in your mind about Bob Uecker?
No, I think I can't think of any one, but I think that sometimes I wonder, you know, we were not supposed to be in the locker room, but I would go in and listen, and I would hear him telling the story, and it was kind of like Major League. I wonder, is he watching the same game I'm watching? Because if he's not, I want to stay and listen to his. It's a heck of a lot more fun than what I'm watching. You know, I think he is probably the most glib, spontaneous broadcaster we've ever seen. He has a homespun, down home, this is my team humor that I appreciate as a player. And I think I put him and Skip Carey into the same category. I think that they're probably at their best when the game's at its worst. So specific stories, no, I can't. But I know there is one every minute you see him.
Post-playing career, you got into the broadcast booth pretty quickly. And you've been with Atlanta for a long time, a couple of years with Washington. But what's it like being with Atlanta Braves, team you never played for, but kind of your home team being from Alabama, not too far, probably the closest major league team that you guys had?
Well, it's kind of interesting the way this is all panned out. It's almost like a story, a movie script, or some sort of script anyway, because I was a 19-year overnight success. In 1969, my fourth year in the big leagues, I had a chance to be a country music disc jockey in the hotbed of country music, Burbank, California. So I thought, you know, I like radio, I like doing this, I want to give it a try. So I did 10 hours on the weekend, and so it was fun. It was fun being on the radio. I wanted to find out if I could read, copy, play records, and not screw it all up. And I knew then, although it was very early in my career, I don't like surprises. I didn't want it to end and have no place to go. I wanted to stay in baseball. I didn't have the money to be an owner. I didn't have the smarts to be a general manager. And so broadcasting baseball, and I used to sit and practice it. You know, I'd be sitting there, and Don Drysdale one day said, he called me Elmer, which Uecker still does since they were great friends. Drysdale walked by and said, Elmer, buy one of those little tape recorders for crying out loud. Watch a game and practice and listen to yourself. So that's when it started. Now, that's a long lead up to the one place I wanted to work when I found out there was a chance of broadcasting was in Atlanta. I wanted to work for TBS. For a number of reasons. That was in the locker room. You know, every major league park, there's a TBS game on. I love the way they did the game. They treated the game with respect, but it was fun. So that's where I wanted to go. As it happened, Ernie Johnson, who was, you know, the godfather of Braves radio in the South, told them in 1989, I've had enough. I don't want to work as much, but I know somebody that wants to come here. And I had cultivated a relationship with Pete Van Wieren. So Ernie told the boss he'd like to come here, and you know, I know he'd love to work what I'm not working, and that was the beginning of it. So to come home, I've got draw a line from Atlanta to Mobile. I've got relatives every 10 miles. I grew up at Pensacola. I was born in South Alabama. We're continuing that legacy. My daughter starts at the University of Alabama in 6 weeks. So it was coming home. It was coming home to what I almost considered a home team that I had never played for, and beat them more than anybody else. If we want to keep that, I like my job. But
it's a Brewers podcast. That's okay.
All right. Well, it was coming home. So there were so many ingredients when you look at it and you go, that couldn't have happened. Sure. But it happened. And other than being sent to Washington, not as a senator, but for 2 years, being fired by TBS and having to go up there, I enjoyed those days. But to come back and just to do radio, I love radio. Radio is the simplicity of baseball. So that's a long-winded answer to your very short question, but it is almost like a story that somebody wrote that can't possibly be true.
You mentioned your Alabama ties. Jim Powell's daughter goes to Georgia. Do you guys have a wager on the Georgia-Alabama game?
Not yet, okay. But we will. We do throw each other around, and I found a way to set him up a little bit. Let's say a guy, we had a pitcher the other night who had played at Alabama, and so he's talking about the pitcher, and his sinker does this, and I said, does he sign out of high school or out of college? And he goes, no, he went to college. Where'd he go? He goes, university. Oh, you got me again. And so we do that back and forth. But I will tell you that around the South, I hear more Roll Tide than I do how about them dogs.
Yeah, no kidding. That is without a doubt, especially over the last 10 years or so. Now, we talk about being on the field, and you do a lot of stuff off the field. You play a lot of golf. You're also a big wine connoisseur. I want to know the best bottle of wine you've ever had.
Best bottle of wine that I think I've ever had was like a 1985 Silver Oak Cabernet. That's some good juice. And I'm not a connoisseur. I'm a consumer. Connoisseurs can tell you where the dirt is and what horse peed in the vineyard and all this kind of stuff and how many rocks. I can't tell you all that. If I like it, I like it. If it doesn't go with fish, I don't care. If I like it, I like it. So I have great respect for the people who know so much. Like Steve Carlton can tell you what side of the mountain in France the grape grew on and what time they picked it at what time of the night. I'm envious, but I love wine. I often say to people, and I have had it said to me, it's a long way from moonshine to Mondavi, and it is. But I really enjoy wine. It's something that we didn't know about except my uncle Hayward's Scuppernong wine that he used to make, and that was lethal stuff. So wine's fun. Because think about it like this. You see people who drink gin and rye and whatever, whiskey, they sometimes want to fight when they have had too much. Beer drinkers, they get robust and want to fight. You ever seen an unhappy wino?
No, I can't say I ever have. They're very peaceful.
Never very peaceful.
It's a good time. You're a big golfer. Where's the best golf course you've ever played?
Probably, and I'm trying to think of the name of it right now. It used to be in the Bing Crosby rotation. It sits on the coast up at Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach is not one of mine, and I will never be forgiven for thinking that. I also go up to Kohler whenever I can. That's some pretty darn good golf at Whistling Straits, too. So
they've got some real good stuff up here in Wisconsin. I haven't quite dabbled as much as I would like to, but I've heard very, very good things.
There are great golf courses all over, and that's like wine. Mm-hmm. What suits you might not suit somebody else. There are some marvelous courses that I don't want to play because I would love to visit them once, but they're too hard. I heard a rumor it's supposed to be fun, you know, and I don't like having to work that hard to have fun. No. But just to be able to get out and play. I know one thing, I wish I were taller because lately I haven't been able to hit the ball out of my shadow. So, and I'm giving up a dollar or two every time I play.
One final question for you, Don, before we let you go. Toughest guy you ever faced in the big leagues?
I don't think I can give you one. I can give you a list of maybe five. Roberto Clemente was the most exciting player I ever played against, so he's on my list. Bob Horner would be on my list. Bill Madlock, Bob Watson, and the world-famous Rance Mullinix. Rance Mullinix used to wear me out. I swear I kept him in the big leagues. He used to come to the plate, and when I was with the Angels, I could hear Gene Mauch yelling from the dugout, Rance bleeping Mullinix, my bleeping bleep. He is hitting 112 against everybody, and he wears us out. But he always seemed to have some good swings. But the guys who had the short arms that could still reach the curveball outside, you couldn't jam them and you couldn't get away from them. Those are the guys that gave me trouble.
Well, hopefully he sends you a Christmas card every year, at least.
Well, he does let people know, because I mentioned it on the air, and I'll get a secondhand note. Mullinix heard you say the other day, and he'll go back. And then I know what the son of a gun does. He goes back and looks up his numbers, like the year he was 7-for-9 with 5 doubles and 2 homers. He goes back and looks that up. He doesn't have to do that. I'm making him famous. Leave me alone.
Yeah, leave me alone. Don, thanks so much for taking a couple of minutes with us and for your memories, too. And Milwaukee is always happy to have you back.
It's always a pleasure to come here. It is coming home. I will value the days and the people here as long as I live.
Sutton was in Milwaukee for just 2.5 years, but as he mentioned in his interview, considers the Cream City his second home.
Checking in on the farm.
We take you down on the farm this week as the AAA Colorado Springs Sky Sox, they will be on their All-Star break the same time that the Brewers are. But down in AA Biloxi, Orlando Arcia smacked his league-leading 24th double of the season on Thursday night. He also notched his 100th hit of the season on Friday night against 13-year Major League veteran Rafael Soriano, who's trying to make his way back with the Chicago Cubs. Arcia was the first in the Southern League to the century mark in hits, and he also represented the Brewers alongside Shunkers pitching coach Chris Hook at the SiriusXM Futures game in Cincinnati on Sunday. Arcia went 0-for-2 in the World Team's 10-1 loss to the U.S. squad, but the talented shortstop number 73 overall on MLB.com's top 100 list absolutely shined with the glove, made one of the best plays of the day, ranging far to his left behind the second base bag, and doing a pirouette, spinning and firing to first base in time to get the opposing batter. Orlando Arcia has been opening eyes all season long, and he did it on a national level in the Futures game. After struggling in an early season look with Class A Wisconsin, Daniel Denson was demoted back to rookie level Helena, where he's been a world beater through his first 15 games. The 20-year-old is batting .327 with 4 homers and an OPS over 1,000 so far, including a breakout last week that featured 3 of his 4 home runs in the Pioneer League and hitting .500. The 2013 15th rounder also sprinkled in a pair of 3-hit games and collected 10 total bases while homering twice on Sunday. And in the Arizona League, first rounder Trent Clark hit for the cycle on Thursday last week, including his first career home run, happened to be a grand slam. Clark is hitting .324 with 11 runs scored in just 10 games with the Arizona League Brewers, and he has had a hit in all but one of his games played so far.
Here's what's on tap with the Brewers.
After the All-Star break, the Brewers will return home for a weekend series against the division rival Pittsburgh Pirates Friday the 17th of July through Sunday the 19th. The weekend series will feature a roll-out-the-barrel t-shirt giveaway for everyone in attendance on Friday, the Brewers' annual Negro Leagues tribute game on Saturday evening, and a Chris Davis bobblehead day on Sunday afternoon. After an off day on Monday, the Cleveland Indians come to town for a couple of days on Tuesday and Wednesday before the crew hits the road again out to the West Coast to Arizona and San Francisco. For more information on this weekend's events, visit Brewers.com. That's going to do it this week for Brewers on Tap. Don't forget to tweet your questions to the Brewers using the hashtag Brewers on Tap. Thanks to our great guests, Will Smith, and a happy birthday to him, number 26, bench coach Jerry Nairn, and Hall of Famer Don Sutton for joining the podcast this week. My name is Jeff Levering. Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. This is Brewers on Tap. Brewers.